Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is soprano saxophonist Paul Winter. He's one of the pioneers of world music, incorporating the sounds of nature and wildlife in his music. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Marion.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Pretty good. It's so nice of you to come and do our show.
What a great pleasure for me.
I don't know where to start talking to you about things. You've done so much, and maybe we should just go right into a tune. What do you think about that?
That'd be fine by me.
Okay, what shall we do?
I'd love to play My One and Only Love.
That's a great song. And we've got Gary Mazzarappi on bass and Glenn Davis on drums, so we have a nice little group.
All right. Thank you.
such a great song.
Oh, it sure is. I've never played it. I've loved it for years, and so this is a great joy for me to play it for the first time and to play it with you.
Well, I'm so glad, because it's one of my favorite tunes, actually. How did you get started playing? Were you a little boy?
In my town in Altoona, Pennsylvania, there was a lot of music. There was some heritage in my family. With my grandfather had been a band leader in the Civil War, if you can believe that, way back there.
He really?
Was only 17 when he enlisted. And so from his heritage and the music store he started in Altoona, there was always music around. And I started actually with drums and flunked the audition for the first grade orchestra and the grade school orchestra in the first year. So I moved to piano and then clarinet and eventually sax. And we had little bands, a little German band and then a dance band.
A German band?
Yeah, we played oompa tunes and told jokes. We had tuba, clarinet, cornet, and trombone.
And told jokes?
Well, we told some of the worst jokes you could ever imagine.
And so then when did you get into more jazz?
Well, I was hearing the big bands, and this is in the late 40s, and loving that music very much. And so we started a dance band when we got to junior high school and called the Silver Liners, because we used Look for the Silver Lining as our theme song. Oh. And so that, of course, led to jazz. And by the time I got out of high school, I was hearing all those great small groups of the 50s and heard Bird and Jerry Mulligan's band and Brubeck and Miles. And so then in college, I was a confirmed bebopper.
It sounds like you would be hearing all those people. So then, when did your music start to change into more environmental music?
It was kind of a natural expansion of the journey of adventures we were having in different places in the world and with different cultures. And in 1968, I heard the recordings of the humpback whales, and that really opened for me the door to what I call this greater symphony of the earth.
It would be wonderful if we could hear some of that now.
Would love to. There's a piece that we do that is based on an 8-note theme from a humpback whale, notes that I can play on soprano sax, and we've put human harmonies to accompany what really is the melodic composition of some anonymous humpback whale.
Okay.
Paul Sullivan will accompany me, and this is called A Lullaby from the Great Mother Whale for the baby seal pups.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
the whale, that is wonderful. How did you ever get that together with a melody? How did you start first listening to the whale?
Well, I had a number of reel-to-reel tapes. This was in early 70s, that Roger Payne, the biologist who had recorded the humpbacks. And then I hit upon this passage, and I thought, well, you know, I can probably play those notes on the sax. Much of what the whales sing is swooping around through all sorts of different tonalities so that they don't land on our sort of stair steps, our notes that we use. But in this case, the whale did. And I thought, well, you know, if we could use the whale's melody, we could say that the whale was the co-composer as a way of kind of honoring their 30 million year musical tradition. And that then became what excited me most. And then I just started to fool around at the piano to see what chords might fit with those notes. And that's how the piece evolved.
That's very, very impressive. Well, now that we've done something so exciting as the Song of the Whale, I wonder how I can follow that with a piece of my own.
Well, I think it's a logical evolution because you have made music celebrating the environment as well, have you not?
Yes. I did write a piece with Rachel Carson in mind, and when her book came out, I think it was about 25 years ago, Silent Spring, I thought it was a fantastic book, and it really was.
She is such a great pioneer in awakening us to the realities of the natural world.
She was, and it just seemed a natural thing to write something for her. So I can play just a little of it for you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like the main theme. Okay?
Please.
All right. Thank you.
Mary, that was beautiful. I would hope that might inspire many people to learn more about Rachel Carson and get her book, Silent Spring, which is such a great classic in our heritage.
It is, isn't it? And I went out and bought several books, and any time anybody mentions her, I hand them a book.
Great.
Well, there's more music in just a minute. Paul Winter is my guest, and we're joined by pianist Paul Sullivan, and we've got Gary Maserati on bass and Glenn Davis on drums. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, you and I are going to do something, aren't we? What is on your mind?
How about Gershwin? I'd love to play Summertime.
Okay, let's do it.
One, two, one, two, three. Thank you.
that is certainly very different from the whale song, isn't it?
Well, in some ways, but you know, I hear blues in both of them.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think the yearning quality that so many creatures have in their song is, it's what we learned, because they're all our elders. We're the youngest of all species on the planet. So way, way back, I think we learned our song and our language from listening to the creatures.
That's probably true. Well, you and Paul have some great songs to do together, haven't you?
Well, there's one here that I'd love to do that's been inspired by the sun and a statue that was created by a Swedish sculptor named Carl Milius, and it stands in Stockholm Harbor. It's a 16-foot bronze of a man standing with arms upstretched. Oh. He's a warrior, and he's got his helmet on, but his weapons are at his feet, and he has given up war and embraced the sun. So the statue is called the Sun Singer, as is the song.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
All right. Thank you.
That was a lovely song.
Thank you.
Now, where did you get the idea? I mean, you saw the statue, and then you felt a piece coming on.
Well, it actually, the statue was so impressive to me that it kind of catalyzed the idea for a whole album, which is called Sun Singer, and that's the title song. But the idea was to sort of celebrate the different ways we experience the sun and it being so crucial in our lives. It's our star. And so it was fun to just spend a summer thinking about sun-related themes.
How long did it take you to write that piece?
It didn't take very long. I had the melody, and at the time I was collaborating with Paul Halley, a wonderful pianist.
Oh, we had him on the show.
Whom you know well, probably. And first he wasn't too crazy about the melody, and I said, well, let's just keep going with it. And then he started adding some harmonies, and it grew very quickly, largely thanks to his amazing harmonic prowess.
Well, it certainly wound up being a great piece.
Well, thank you.
Lovely. Well, we've got more coming up with Paul Winter. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. When did you get the idea to go to the Grand Canyon?
You know, it started way, way back in the first tour that I did to California with my jazz sextet in 1963, and I stopped at the canyon, and like everybody does when they go out there. And I remember sitting on the edge of the South Rim and playing my horn and listening as the echoes just disappeared in that sea of air between me and the North Rim, 13 miles away. But I remember wondering if there weren't some amazing echoes at the bottom of the canyon, a mile below where I was sitting, if you would go down there to play. And about 10 years later, I came back through, and I hiked partway down into the canyon, found some echoes, had the idea of bringing our whole band down there on one of the mule trains with the cello and the drums strapped on the mules and seeing what we could find in terms of acoustics. 7 years beyond that, we finally came to the canyon, but not on mules, however, having found out in the meantime that a better way to see the entire length of the 279 miles of the canyon is on the Colorado River by raft. So we embarked on the first of what became four river rafting recording expeditions.
My goodness.
To make an album about the canyon. And this particular piece was born in a unique side canyon that we found on our fourth trip that has a 7-second reverberation. And it's so lovely to play there that since the side canyon had no name on the map, we thought we would coin our own name. So we called it Box Canyon, but spelling it B-A-C-H apostrophe S. And I for a long time, dreamed of going back and making a solo album in those acoustics and finally got the chance. And this piece grew out of that experience. It's a series of themes that evolve over kind of a somewhat repeated chordal sequence, like the chaconne form that Bach used. So we call this Canyon Chaconne.
Well, I can't wait to hear this piece.
All right.
There's something very dramatic about that piece. And you get a feeling of Bach. In fact, I was thinking how it would be fun to make a fugue out of that. It's a wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Did you, those three or four different times that you went to the canyon, was that piece going through your head all the time?
No, no, only in this one place that evoked it. And I had gone there thinking I would just improvise a whole lot and see what grew. And it came from the first call, which is just an ascending fifth. Because what's fun in a place that has great reverb is to play something and listen to it just lingering. It's such a delicious experience, kind of like singing in the ultimate shower.
It's wonderful to be able to do that. It must have been a great kick to play a note and then hear it come back to you.
Well, what you hear is it's not so much that it's an echo, but it's a lingering. It just sort of, you hear it carrying down the canyon for several seconds, and kind of does something for your ego. Maybe you think, oh my gosh, I set that sound in motion, so it makes you want to play another one.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I had an idea that maybe I could try and do something, and that would be a musical portrait of you.
Wow.
You think you could stand it?
I'll be sitting down.
I don't know how it'll come out because it's something I'm be doing as I'm going along. So here goes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Marion, I'm deeply honored by that. Thank you very much.
Well, that's what I felt in just the short time I've got to know you. Tried to put it in musical terms. That's what came out.
Well, I'm thrilled.
Well, there's more music in just a minute. Paul Winter is my guest, and we're joined by pianist Paul Sullivan, bassist Gary Mazzarapi, and drummer Glenn Davis. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz, and it's a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I would love to do another tune with you.
Well, there's a favorite of mine that I heard years ago, and it's one of the ballads I've loved for a long time, called My Ship.
Oh, that's a beautiful tune. Did you ever hear, of all people, Miles Davis?
I was just going to mention that.
The recording that Miles Davis did of that with Gil Evans is maybe my favorite ballad recording of all time, and that
has to be the most soulful recording of it ever made.
That really is a terrific recording. And now we'll do our version.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I think our version may be not quite the same as Miles, but I think we did a beautiful job on that tune.
Well, thank you. It was a great privilege to play it with you.
Thank you. And it's just great to have you here today, Paul. Thank you for coming.
You're very welcome.
And I'm really enjoying it. We're not done yet.
No.
We're going to do, what is the last tune?
Icarus.
Oh, right. I'm going to sit and listen to that. Paul Sullivan is going to play, and my two guys.
All right.
Gee, that was just a wonderful way to end the show.
Well, what a great thrill it's been for me and for Paul Sullivan to be with you here today.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed every minute of it.
And me too.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest today has been Paul Winter. Join us each week at this time as Marian brings you other outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Tyler Hartman, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To learn more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.